Hopefully, there I am. I am alive. Okay. Lift high, lift high, lift high. Higher, 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 higher. Steady. Charlie. Oh, two cloths. No, don't worry. Throw that over there. That's fine. That's my son. That's my boy. And I'm proud of him. Doesn't matter if he messes up. I'm proud of him. Jesus. The one who flung stars into space. Damn, we put nails in those hands. Do you get the enormity of that? The one who flung stars into space. Humanity decided it was a good thing to put nails in those hands. Jesus, I want to bless you and thank you. If I put a hand on the shoulder of the person next to you, let us raise our voices as one and pray for that person, that they will continue to receive the blessing that God has this morning. This is not a normal morning. I am sensing the Spirit in ways I haven't for such a long time. Lord, we bless you and thank you. Let's raise our voices for the person next to you right now. Raise them up. Hallelujah. I thank you and bless you. If somebody wants to come, please pray for me. I'm stood here on my own. Jesus, Norman, come in here. Come here. Come here. You're sat on your own, man. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Jesus, bless you. And all God's people said, amen. No. Sorry, there's one, obviously there's only one of God's persons in this morning. And all God's people said, amen. Do you know that word was one of acclamation, dedication, and agreement? It's a shame that we want to whisper, amen, to an almighty God. Wow, I can't see. Why not? I've got my glasses on. I was like, ooh. And I've got it in big font as well. Still can't see. Ah, there it is. So this morning, pop the first slide up, please. We are endeavoring to look at creation, the fall, but my favorite bit, the redemption. Summed up in three words, love, law, and grace. Grace is something we don't seem to get hold of. We're going to be looking into creation this morning. What was the first book of the Bible? What is the first book of the Bible? Wrong. It's Job. Yep. Genesis was written around about 1500 years BC. Job was written, we don't know, way before that. Job is the first book of the Bible. Just so happens in the canon that we have, the order that it's been put in, Genesis come first. Why does Genesis come first? Because what does Genesis mean? Beginnings. Okay. So in Genesis, how many days did God take to create everything? How many? Six. Didn't catch anybody out. Those who wanted to be catch out went, I don't remember. I'm going to say seven, but I think that's wrong. If you were thinking seven, you were wrong. Because it's six. On the seventh day, God rested. You see, we're so frenetic, unfortunately. In the beginning, God said, let us make man in what? Our own image. Unfortunately, We, and I mean every single one of us, including me, if I'm pointing that way, I've got three fingers pointing back, okay? So don't think I'm discounting myself. We make God in our image. Every single one of us. We limit God. We want to come with our agenda. We want to come with our decisions. We want to come with our list of, oh, I've got to put up with all these kind of things. Oh, I've got to do this checklist today, otherwise God won't love me. Guess what? He loves you anyway. You can mess up. You can knock his library over. He still loves his son. It doesn't matter. You can't outlove God. Creation. First slide, second slide. Creation, or I believe, equals love. I was sat watching this sunset. So I was just kind of thinking, which way was I pointing? I was facing east. Sunsets are beautiful things. Beautiful things. And it says in Scripture, for God so loved the world. That didn't change from the moment he opened his mouth in the beginning to when Jesus repeated it again in the Gospels. God so loved the world. Eden should have enveloped the whole world. Instead, it got blighted by sin. Do you know what the first thing God says in Genesis? Let there be... Boom. Now, science tells us that at the Big Bang, the fastest and the elemental particle that was created was a photon. The Big Bang happened and out shot a photons. What are photons? Light. Oh. Hang on a minute. What? The scientists are telling us what Scripture already knew. Let there be light. And there was. Let there be light. When God says something, it happens. If God has put a promise over your life, it will happen. Creation is such an incredible thing. Take a jumbo jet. Do you know how many parts make up a jumbo jet? Over 6 million to make one jumbo jet. The rivets on just one wing. There are 40,000 rivets on one wing. It takes over 43 days to make one airplane with a whole army of builders and robots and machinery. Workers have to fill in a bar chart, and there are something like 14,000 separate jobs they have to sign off on before that airplane can leave the hangar. And a single aeroplane may also be tagged with 1,000 rejection slips that have to be put right. You see, the God who flung stars into space, the God who wonderfully knitted you in your mother's womb, the one who put us together here today, is the Creator. He isn't boring. He creates. And he continues to create and recreate. Is it amazing? We can look at the jumbo jet. You can look at a watch. How many parts do you think make up a watch? Well, it's over 130 separate little items. All delicately made. All precisely fashioned. All working together to count time. And both the jumbo jet or the watch, we say, wow, look at the engineering, look at the ingenuity, look at how amazing that is. And if you're anything like me, I look at a sunset, I look at the stars. If I was lucky enough, earlier this year, we were in the desert, me and my family, and we got out of the car at night, and we're on this mountain, and we just looked. What could we see, Charlie? You can't remember the time, can you? It was stars. Remember, it was black. There was bats everywhere. But you just looked at the stars. And too often, man looks at the stars and goes, wow, what an incredible mistake. Wow, that's amazing by chance, isn't it? And incredible, terrible, what nature can do. And yet, the Bible tells us, God said, and it happened. We can look at a jumbo jet and go, what great engineering. We look at creation and we go, oh, it's just a mistake. It's just by chance. This vast, incredible, beautiful, wondrous, enormous, yet delicately balanced universe is made by complete chance. You. Look at the person you prayed for. Just have a quick look at them. Go on, you're allowed. Turn your face. It's okay. No, no, you didn't pray for me. You prayed for... Don't look at me. Look. Okay. That person, according to these books, is worthless. Well, I'd say worthless. You're worth about £2.63. It's true. With inflation. It used to be £1.79. You see, the thing is, there is nothing in that person sat next to you that you couldn't actually buy from a pharmacist. The thing you can't do, or I can't do, is put them all together and produce life. He can. He does it every day. Amen. Who said that? Hallelujah. Beverly, yeah? I know, he told me he was going to sit there. Hello, Beverly. You are not worthless. We live in an age where mental health is just taking over everything. And I deal with it every day. And I'm talking about me. My poor wife has to put up with it. But I deal with people who are just broken and feel worthless. Yet creation brought us here today. Jesus has a plan for your life. God has a plan to bring back everybody to the foot, not of the cross, but of his throne. Okay? The cross has been done. There's nothing else that needs to happen. We will be presented beautiful in shining white clothing. The metaphor of the Bible uses, before the throne of God. Those of us who know Jesus Christ will be in that place. If this morning you are thinking, I don't know if I know Jesus. I don't know if I have that within me. Then come and have a chat. Come and shake my hand. I've got something here for you that you can take away and have a look through that will explain why, how that piece of you that just seems forever unsatisfied can be made satisfied. You see, in the creation, it says God created everything and did everything he needed to do in 6-7 days. Within those days, were they an actual 24 hours? I wasn't there. Scripture says days. But the actual word used is eon, which actually is an unspecified, undisclosed length of time. But because there's a little bit in there that says, there was morning and evening, and that was the first day. Do you know something? We can get ourselves all tied up with all that. But at the end of the day, I just want you to look at one thing. One thing matters, because the plan came together in this. A bigger version. But the plan came together in the cross. The crossroads of life for everybody is to make a decision. Do I follow Jesus or not? There is no other decision that humankind needs to make. Now, let me show you something. This creation. Now, I've done a lot of reading over the years. Like anybody who studies scripture, you need to kind of study and chat through things with other people. Now, what I have up here is just a little slice of some of the books that I've read. The type of things I read are by professors, are by academics, because I don't want to read people who've just got opinions like me. I don't. I know what my opinions are. I want my opinions challenged. Okay? I want them challenged because when I get them challenged, I can grow. Do you know what's great? Another thing great about Scripture? You can ask questions of it. Other books of other religions, you daren't. But a Scripture, ask those questions. These are just a few of the books that tell me mankind is a waste of space. These are just a few. What have we got here? Richard Dawkins, The God Delusion. We've got Darwin, Origin of Species. We've got a few guys at the front. These three, absolutely incredible. These are actually futurist books, not futuristic books, but looking towards, you know, Homo Deus and Sapiens, basically going into the robotic age, the AI age. This one, the second machine age. How is all that? You know, I read books like that because I want to know what their arguments are. Because I also read books like this, okay? People have said to me, oh, you only read the Bible, so why? Oh, read a book, won't you? I say, why don't you? Why don't you read? Because their opinions are only based on somebody else's opinion. They've read it in the Metro newspaper, sitting on the bus going to work in the morning. And it's been a little article on page 7. And they've made a decision that God doesn't exist, that all this is by mistake. You're just a bunch of cosmic mess that just so happened to look like beauty. I wasn't laughing. You see, because when God looked, he looked at you and he thought, very good, very good, very good, very good, very good, very good. Scripture tells us that. I want to encourage you to read. Again, these are by professors. I'm not going to go through them. These are by Lee Strobel. If you want to read anything decent and then die, fine. Read anything by Lee Strobel. He is a very hard-nosed journalist. He started out as a non-Christian wanting to make a point that Christianity was a load of garbage. These are only 4 of his volumes that says, actually, I've interviewed all these professors, all these engineers, all these people of academic highness, and they've all come up with the same answer. Jesus was real. He is the Son of God. He died on a cross. He rose from the dead. He's coming back again. If you want the evidence and you want to go deeper, another guy, Josh McDowell. Anything by Josh McDowell. I've got some other things here by an organization called Answers in Genesis. Again, anybody, including our own Stuart Burgess, who works at Bristol University as a higher professor of engineering. He put part of the spacecraft that went to the moon and off to Mars. He is on here. He believes Jesus Christ died for him, came back for him, came back from the dead, and he's coming back for him. And if you want to go real deep, anything by Michael Behe, he's a microbiologist. This guy, Francis Collins, absolutely incredible. He was the one who put the Human Genome Project on the map. Him and another guy who was a non-Christian. Interesting. Because what happened in the end, the Human Genome Project, a few years ago when it was finished, guess what happened? Once they crunched all the numbers from around the world, they found out that humanity started with one woman. Oh, who knew? How did he get to that conclusion? What, you're telling me science in our biology, our DNA, the very essence of who each and every one of us is, started with one woman? Except there's a problem. Because at the time, they could only narrow it down to about 5 men and 1 woman. That doesn't mean to say they were partying. What actually meant was that they needed to do something steady. They needed to do some more mathematics and real complicated stuff. And it took a few more years. Guess what they've narrowed it down to? 1 man, 1 woman. And they live around the North Africa, East Asia area. That's where they came from. Where was Eden? Eden actually was in the country we call Iraq. Where's that country? oh, it just so happens to be kind of generally in that same area. It's great what science is pulling up. I talked about answers in Genesis. You see, I want you to realize I'm not coming at you with an opinion. I'm coming at you with the facts. And I really do believe the facts of the Bible. They have a solid foundation. See, answers in Genesis, the people you can go to are veterinarians, psychologists, and linguists. They're philosophers, physicians, medical scientists, mathematicians. They're historians, archaeologists, geologists, paleontologists, geographers. They're geneticists, they're engineers, educationalists, chemists, biologists, botanists, environmental scientists. They're microbiologists. They're astronomers and cosmologists. You see, they're all highly academic, highly educated, most of them at professor level or even higher. All the top of their game. All believe. Many of which did not believe in God until they really got to grips with their science, whatever area of science they were in. All of them today, we can book them, they can come here, you can listen to them online, you can watch them on the videos. They have an incredible, accessible story to tell. That God created the universe. That you are not by chance. That you're loved, you're very good, and he wants you, as his son and daughter, to know there's a place for you at his table. So what happened? I'm just going to briefly and quickly go through the 7 days of creation. Day one. What happened? Light. Somebody's awake. Now, all the rest of you are thinking, oh my gosh, what order are they coming? He's going to. I won't do that to you. Okay, day two. Excuse me, sorry. He made the sky water and the earth water. That's actually the translation. Day three, he made the earth and the seas and the vegetation. And all the vegetation had seeds within it to reproduce itself. Day four, sun, moon, stars, the universe came into being. Day five, the water animals were made and the air animals were made. Day six, the land animals were made of every kind. And if that wasn't enough, on day six, God said, let's make man in our own image. The difference was twofold. With everything else in creation, God stopped at the most of every day, apart from the first day, and said, wow, that's good. When he and the Trinity finished by making humanity, as the Bible calls them, Adam and Eve, the Genome Project, I believe calls them the same, the first man, the first woman, he said, that is very good. He celebrated. God celebrates your creation. Oh, really? That's nice, isn't it? Move on. I'll tell you what, I'll move on. Because trouble was brewing in paradise. Genesis 3:1 said this. Now the serpent himself is possibly taken as a metaphor or taken as realism. But the fact is, it represents the devil. Or was the devil in serpent form. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. Hang on a minute, let me stop you there. You see, did you hear that? The devil was created. How many of you say, you know, you've got this idea that God and the devil are the same? They've got the same power. It's like dualism. It's not dualism at all. It's God and him. Okay, God is like, whoa, there's the devil. Okay, let's get some perspective, people, family, my lovely ones, you beautiful people. Realize that God is out there. He's also in here. But there's the devil. He is created, he's finite, he does not have the powers of God. He said to the woman, well, he's a snake, wasn't he? Did God really say you must not eat? I'll start, I'm sorry. Of any tree in the garden? You will certainly not, oh, doing it again, sorry. You will certainly not, it's your fault, Claire, stop laughing. You're encouraging me. You will certainly not die, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Which? Tempting. Put it and sell it in the right way. You can sell anything to anyone because we're all a mug. We're all like sheep who've gone astray. We'd rather follow the crowd than follow our conscience. And it was John Wesley who said that our conscience is God, is that little bit of us on God's side. I like that. You see, the serpent said this, but he didn't actually explain the consequences. But unfortunately, Adam and Eve found out. You see, when the devil was at that talking about that tree, see, there was, in case you didn't realize, there was one rule. One. Count them. How many rules? I'm sorry, I'm not going to carry on. How many? Thank you, Claude. One. One rule. One? And we couldn't, as a humankind, we can't even keep that. We wanted God's position. We wanted God's mind. We wanted to be God of our own destiny. You see, the devil whispered a half-truth at that time. He planted a seed of doubt, the downfall of any relationship. Any marriage is on the rocks. If one or the other of the partners just believes a lie about the other person, the rot can start to set in. It may not happen, the split may not happen till several years, unless you do something about that seed that was planted, that lie that was put in. And the devil knows this. He loves to plant seeds. But they're always weeds when they grow. Always. You see, the basis of sin, the legality of sin, encompassed humanity and the earth and the universe. It's a universal law. Hence, we fall. However, that word of the devil was overcome by the first prophecy of redemption. Sin is all those things that we, how can we put it, we do wrong, we think wrong, we say wrong. Okay? The first humans felt they needed to hide from God. They blamed each other and they lied to God. Sound familiar? Or is that just me? Genesis 3:15 went on to say this, God spoke to the devil posing as a serpent. This was the prophecy. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head. You will strike his heel. In other words, someone's going to get crippled and someone's going to die. Here's the heart of the issue, I think. Found in Romans 3. For all have sinned. There's not one of us have done perfect life so far. We all need that help. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came in Jesus. Quickly on to the next photograph. You will notice I put this photo there as the fall. No. As the, thank you. Do you see the number? 666. It's actually 6666, just to emphasize it. This was what we saw two blocks away. From Hollywood Boulevard. This is life. 46% of people live on the streets in LA. But I was intrigued because just stare at it. Look at that number above it. The number of the beast, 666. Look at the state of life when you hang out with him. It's not good. Poor bloke. The likelihood he's a veteran of Afghanistan, of Iraq perhaps. Afghanistan probably because he's younger. There's no mental health help for them out there at all. None. And you know, the law has just been passed out there when we got back from there about a month later to destroy all the tent cities and make homelessness illegal. You got 46% of your population of LA are on the streets, families as well. Man left enough to his own devices always corrupts and destroys. Given time, money, power and sex will get in the way every time of good intention. You see, Jesus knew about that in the beginning because he told his disciples, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Where did he fall? Onto the earth. He set up camp here. And he's still fighting thinking he's going to get away with it. I don't know if he's read Revelation. Spoiler, we win. You see, but this was even overcome by the eye of God. I saw Satan fall. You see, Jesus said that. No, God cannot miss anything. Don't think you can hide. He doesn't want you to hide. He just wants you to come. With your brokenness, with your pain, with your past. And he will welcome us. I was climbing a tree when I was younger. I was about 9 years old, and this tree I used to climb all the time, and I found a way of getting from the top to bottom very quickly. I'd slide off one branch, grab the branch below me, slide my bum down. Oops, said bum. Oops, said it again. Sorry. And I'd slide down, hit the next branch, grab another branch, slide, boom, 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 and then drop onto the floor. However, I got a little bit frightened. I could hear my mum calling. I was late for tea. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I hid up the tree. So I thought, she can't see me. It was summertime, it was a flowering cherry, all big green leaves out. I thought, oh, she can't hide. Nigel! Because my mum does speak like that, except with a posh accent. Nigel? No. Anyway, I was like, oh, get out of that tree. So I knew that my mum had used the other set of eyes, those in the back of her head. Okay, every mother's got them. Okay, and every dad wishes he had. I thought, right, I'll get out of the tree the same way. Okay, I slid down, boom, boom, boom. She's like, ah! And boom, 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 ah! And I got worried. I missed the last branch. I hit that one instead, tumbled backwards, fell out of the tree, hit the floor. Guess what the next thing was? My mum hitting me. Boom, don't do that again, get yourself in. You see, he's like, ah! You see? In a fall, there is a consequence. In the fall, there is a consequence. The heart of the issue can be found in Matthew. The things that come out of a person's mouth actually come from the heart. These defile them, for out of the heart come evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, lying in other words, and slander. People honor me with their lips, he said in Mark, but their hearts are far from me. And yet in John 14, he says, to his people, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Why troubled? Troubled about what? Well, Romans 6 says this, for the wages of sin is death. It's what you've done, it's what we deserve. The wages of sin is death. For the gift of God, however, is eternal life. And that in Jesus Christ our Lord. Look, let's be honest. We come this morning as broken, messed up. We come as hopeless, lost people. Who can fix us? You see, God, this is something that was created, okay? It's good, isn't it? Look at this, look. It's even got suspension. It's brilliant. The wheels turn. It's fantastic. I just love this. You know, but broken. What can I do about it? Well, I could sit here and kind of try to work out how to put all those pieces back together. Or I could call my son, who knows how to put it back together. Charlie? Do you know how to put this back together?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Can you do that whilst I carry on? Last slide. Next slide. Sorry. My fault. In a dark world, we need grace. Because in a dark world, if there's no grace, there's war. That war is either between, it can be between people. Actually, so many people are warring with themselves. The mental health issues that we go through. We're warring with ourselves. We've given up warring with our neighbors. We're warring with ourselves. And yet this wonderful gift of grace can come into our lives so these things matter not anymore. The devil tempted Jesus when he was feeling very low in the wilderness. He was using diversionary tactics, as he did with Adam and Eve. The devil doesn't change, okay? He doesn't change. Did God say? Really? Did God say that? Are you sure? Jesus came back by overcoming that with Scripture. Believe the truth. Jesus used the Scripture, and the devil was defeated. He quoted simple law back from actually the book of Deuteronomy. The New Testament wasn't around at that point. And the devil was beaten every time. You see, the devil is also under law. He will never and can never know grace. You can. Grace is only for God's children. You see, you don't need much faith to follow God. You just need to follow him. People have said to me over the years, I don't know what to do for God. It's very straightforward. Read the Scriptures. Read Mark's Gospel. Start there. It's the shortest. You'll do it in about half an hour, 45 minutes. Read it. You'll soon get an idea of what you're expected to do. You don't need faith to do what it actually already says. If you don't know, that's because you're not reading the Bible. Start with Jesus every time and take it from there. As a 12-year-old, my brother was 10. We were out in the countryside in Derbyshire. We were playing in the streams. Our parents were up on the side. Beautiful part of the Peak District. It was a park called Harklow. Harklow is known and still is today for a small airfield. And off of that airfield, they can fly gliders, but also hang gliders. What a crazy sport that is. We would watch these hang gliders come over, and we were just like, wow. That's amazing. Wow, look at that. And I remember distinctly this black one, this yellow with a black outline, this yellow one. It went up and it started to soar. He came off the cliffside and he lifted up above us. We're watching it. And all of a sudden, the wings just went boom. And he plummeted down. The only thing below him was bracken and rocks. Took the rescuers over 2.5 hours just to get to him. We stayed there for the rest of the day just to see if he was all right. We found out that actually he was beaten up, he was broken, he had internal injuries, broken bones. They took him to Chesterfield Royal Hospital, and he was there a long time. So me and my brother decided we'd write a letter. So we wrote a letter to him. Many weeks went by, we got a reply. And my mum called us together in the front room, and she read the letter out to us of how thankful he was and really appreciated that these two young lads had seen it happen and he was doing fine. There would be, you know, some specialist physiotherapy and what have you, but he would be okay. He had survived. He described that it took the right people to rescue him. A team led by one man, he said. That's you to this town. You are the team led by Jesus to this town. You've already signed up if you've become a Christian. If you are not doing anything about that, it's not me that you'll be talking to. Let me pull together the beginning and the end of this sermon. I want you to listen very carefully to the description of the author and the perfecter of our faith. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That speech of God, that word, that rhema, that breath of God. Team, do you want to come up? In the beginning, because it said there in 1 Genesis, let us make mankind in our own image. Let us. in our own image, make mankind. That is grace. And that same grace is here this morning. You are not condemned before God, but he wants to let you know that you are accepted, you are loved, and he wants to let you know that you are forgiven. Even if you haven't come to a place yet of making that decision, because it was at the cross where he forgave, he asks us to step in, take that free gift of grace, that free gift of forgiveness. Let your life start again. Let those things of the past be exactly that, things of the past. You have a great future ahead of you. You have a great presence here and now. If you want to know a little bit more, come and see me afterwards. You see, I want to give you one of those. You can go through life carrying something like a first aid manual. You see, when you're injured, I was a first aider for years and had to deal with all sorts of things. But when you're injured, the probability that you'll be left scarred, bleeding. And if we don't get you to hospital quick enough, dying. You need a specialist to help you survive. The spiritual world is no different. See, between these two books, this other one offers healing of the wounds, which leaves no scars. He will clean up the mess that you feel you're in. As we go into our final song, make that decision this morning, my friends. Make that decision to follow Jesus. He is the only specialist you'll need.
The start before the beginning of time. No point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath. The planets form. The stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a signifier of grace. As creation sings your praises, so will I. Your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For what you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. As you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you reveals your nature, so will I. Can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. Creation still obeys you, so will I. Stars were made to worship, so will I. The mountains bow in reverence, so will I. The oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind blows where you send it, so will I. The rocks cry out in silence, so will I. The sum of all our praise is still for child. And then we'll sing again. Failure and pride. On the hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I could find it here. You left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you. Every part designed in a work of gold. You gladly chose surrender, so will I. We see your heart a billion different. Every precious one, the child you died to. You gave your life to love them, so will I. Like you would again 100 billion times. What measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
We have a decision before us. For some of you, it may be a crossroads. You make to make a decision which way you will go. For some here this morning, there is a part of you that is missing, or it feels that way. There is a peace that only God can feel. There is a hole in your life, something you feel is missing. Come and see it, but come and have a chat with me. What? What have you done? Oh, come here then. Come on, son. Let's have a look. Show them. He's done it. My son did it. That's my boy. Jesus is the only one who can put your life back together. Charlie was able to do the Lego because that's his job, not Dad's. God sent his son into the world, not to condemn, but to free, but to save. As we leave this morning, continue your conversations one with another. Find out more about each other. Sit with someone you haven't sat with for a while or ever. But there are leaders here, myself, Kelvin, Claire. If you would like to know more about this Jesus, come and have a chat. But I just want to pray for you that this week will be an incredible sense of God's creation in your life. That there will be a sense of his blessing being poured out like a monsoon upon us. That this week will be unprecedented in the blessings that he wants to bring to you so that you can be a blessing to someone else. Lord, we bless your holy name and thank you that you have created us for such a time as this. You have brought us together, even here, to do your will, to love, and to help bring salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.